brought to you by Carol Beck and broadcasting live from the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, The Deck at 311 North Market Street, Suite 200 in Dallas, Texas. It's time for Career Advancement Radio, providing information to help enhance your career. Now here's your host, Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Good morning, Dallas. And we are here today with Marilyn and Kamal's talks, what's happening in the news. This is our second segment. And yay, Kamal decided to join us while she's out for her summer break. So we are so excited to have her here with us for the summer break. And we're doing great things. She's been a tremendous help. And she is the motivator for today's show. And we talked last night and she said, hey, let's talk about BreadX. And for those of you who don't know, BreadX is the big topic in the European news. And just to give you guys on that haven't been paying attention, a definition of what BreadX is, it's the abbreviation of two words, British Exit, which refers to the June 23rd, 2016 referendum by British voters to exit the European Union. The referendum rolled global markets, including currency, causing the British pound to fall to its lowest level in decades. So you're probably wondering, what does this have to do with career advancement? Well, it has a lot to do with career advancement. It has a lot to do with careers, period. Maybe not the advancement of one's career in their current state, but possibly career advancement as far as when you're leaving college and making that next move, or you're in the U.S. and you work for a consulting firm. It could be impacted, or you work for a European company here in the U.S. I, for one, worked for a European company. Before, and I would imagine that they, the employees there are going to be very much impacted by this news somehow, some way. So let's give Kamal a chance to talk to us about why she wanted to get this started, and then we'll go from there. So good morning, Kamal.
Good morning. Good morning. So Brexit is something that is very close to my heart, reason being because my long-term goal has been to move to England, move to London, kind of establish myself there, establish a great career there, and kind of just, you know, live there my entire life. And, you know, now with Brexit happening, I've had to rethink that decision. I really had to rethink whether or not this is something that I can be doing within the next 5 years. You know, I graduate in two. And so my primary goal was to see if I could go ahead and get a job out there in London or somewhere in Europe from the get-go. But now I've definitely had to stop and ask myself, hey, is this something that I should really be doing now? Is it something that I need to look at later? Is it something that I need to reconsider completely? And so, you know, Brexit has been quite an interesting roller coaster to follow. Considering the pound used to be one of the strongest currencies in the world, and to see it at a 30-year low is something that is a little nerve-wracking for not only European markets, but also for the U.S. market. So, that's kind of what spurred my decision to start this topic.
That's an excellent segue into why discuss it, why bring it back to careers. Tolerance of uncertainty. It is a academic term, and tolerance of uncertainty is definitely something individuals in the career sphere or work sphere have to really focus on or have a tolerance for. Uncertainty is going to be, and now I'm going to say some things, and they don't mean necessarily that, yeah, I can go ahead and go to Europe or whatever, because I don't want your parents after me. But I think that there's going to be a lot of uncertainty. I can say that throughout reading and researching over the years, uncertainty is so prevalent in everything that we do. And you have to have a mindset that is of tolerance of this uncertainty. And in that mindset, you have to be... Curiosity is good And that's, I think, what you're talking to us about today. You're curious as to, am I going to go this way or do I need to go another way? Do I need to rethink? What were the ways? What were the reasons why I wanted to go to Europe? So even though you may be curious as to what's going to happen, we don't know. We don't have a some kind of eight ball that we can rub and see, oh, this is really what's going to happen next. We don't know what's going to happen next. And nor do we know what's going to happen here in Europe, what's going to happen in any other country that we may decide to embark on and make that a home. And also, I think we have to be careful, period, about being so persistent about this is the way we're going to take our career or our life when it comes to work. Unless you know you're going to go over and buy a farm somewhere and you're going to set up shop and you're going to do it yourself. Yes, I'm always pushing entrepreneurship. But in this particular case, that's the only way you know when you have some choice. And even at that, you don't know for sure because rules change. And Britain, as I understand it and reading the articles, there's one article in the New York Times, and we will reference that article of the seven reasons as to why Britain wanted to do this. And in reading that article, I saw at least four times references to careers, cost of living, imbalance, way of life, either for or against. And so we know that people, I'll put it like this, I'll take a step back and say this. Even in the U.S., we are beginning to have more people who feel as though their earning wage is not enough. We had a few, and where things were a few, that was okay. But now that is more, we're very concerned. So I think that that's the same thing that's happened in Britain. That's the same thing that's happened in Europe. And I see more and more of the generation that is finishing college or recently finished college saying, listen, there's something wrong here, and we need to do something about it. And so we have this big divide that's happening between older individuals, 40 and above, where they're saying, people, hey, I'm raising my hand. You guys have forgotten about me. I helped make these countries what they are. And no one is helping me. No one is caring about me. Whereas on the other end of the scale, we have the young people saying, hey, you told us to go to college. You told us to prepare ourselves. You told us to do all these things, and we did them. We did what you guys told us to do, but we don't see the jobs, and we don't see the income that we need to make. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, we don't see the lifestyle that we want necessarily. So, hey, we have 40s and older, and then we have 25 and younger saying the same things to us and both fighting for that space. Now, you break it on down some more, and we have that baby boomer generation, which happens to be those that are in their 50s, and then you add the 40s to it, so the 50s group is there, and it's a huge list of them. Even though we'd love for them to retire, but there's not enough money for them to retire and get out of the way. Then we have the young people, and they're saying, listen, I need a living wage. And I have grown accustomed to this type of living. For example, I remember when my daughter was in college, she lived in an apartment, no roommates. When she was home coming up, she had her own bedroom, her own bathroom, my son the same. And here we are now. And if she has to do anything different to earn her wage, she's like, this is not enough. And I'm like, it is enough. This is real life. Welcome to the world. So what are your thoughts?
So to that last point, I definitely agree. It has become a lot harder to sustain and maintain the lifestyle that many of the millennial generation have grown up with. You know, I did grow up with my own bedroom. I grew up with, I did share a bathroom with my sister, but you know what? I had two sinks. It was a big bathroom. And most of the time we weren't home at the same time due to like sports and academics and things like that. So it was fine. It was as if I grew up with my own bathroom. But, you know, now even just at university, I live in an apartment with five other girls. You know, it is three bedrooms. It is three bathrooms, but I have to share a room with someone. I have to share a bathroom with someone. And let me tell you, these are not big rooms. They're really not. I have to share the living room. I have to share a kitchen, you know, everything from dishes to toilet paper. You know, it's a lot harder to maintain the lifestyle I had at home than with the lifestyle that I have now. And that's, you know, that's one of the big things about Brexit that is there. You know, you have that generational gap, which makes things a lot more difficult for both. You know, there's a lot of political turmoil, a lot of economic turmoil, a lot of social turmoil, you know, like there's a lot of conflict in different areas. And the problem with that is that each of these generations, they incline themselves towards a certain way. So it makes it a lot harder to get things done. And of course, you know, with Brexit, the biggest complaint was economics, which again goes back to I want to maintain a lifestyle that I've grown accustomed to. And the common thought process is I don't really want to change the lifestyle I've had. And, you know, there's this the growing lower middle class level is something that we haven't really seen as much. You know, we've seen a growing middle class. That's something that's been around for quite some time. But, you know, the idea of a growing lower middle class is something that is starting to really, really show itself. And that's...
Excellent point.
That's where most of the people who supported the leave from the EU, they are lower middle class, or as, you know, sometimes they're referred to the underclass.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, these are the people who, whether they're in their 20s or in their 50s, they haven't been able to maintain the lifestyle that they're used to because prices have gone up. Things have become a lot more expensive. And with Brexit, a lot of people, like, they try to claim that, you know, the economy is just going to rebound back. It won't be too long, you know. It might be like a year or two, but that's something that we can handle. But I personally, I don't see that happening because this just has a ripple effect, you know?
Yes.
So while certain parts of the economy can recover in 1 to 2 years, the entire economy is not going to recover for a while. And, you know, now we have to look at how Brexit is going to affect other countries in the EU and other countries in Europe, because Europe isn't doing so well financially either. The Eurozone is not doing its best right now. And so even in these other countries, you have a lot of people who are in that underclass who are trying to struggle to maintain a lifestyle that they want and that they're accustomed to, and they can't, which is, you know, part of the uncertainty, especially part of the political and social uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now these countries are questioning, well, why should we stay in the EU? If England is going to do it, if Britain's going to leave, and if they do well enough, why can't we? Now, that's going to leave a lot of global uncertainty. England alone leaving has a lot of global uncertainty. But if we start to see a dissolution of the European Union because of this thought process, because of this lower middle class saying enough is enough, you know, we could see a lot of global implications from that, which is, again, that's very nerve-wracking. But at the same time, you know, that makes people really start to think and question their business practices, their career thoughts and their career paths and things like that.
Yes, and they should. However, I think that what people are saying, and we had a show with a young man, David, who talked a lot about that he felt as though the reason we were struggling here in the U.S. was because of globalization. And you hit on that point without using the word globalization. So I think what people are saying, when you become one, the bigger you become, the less opportunities there are. However, when we're smaller, we each get a piece of the pie. It may not be a big pie, but we get a piece of the pie. And that's the feeling that I'm sensing over and over again. I had a client on Sunday. I got two new clients on Sunday. for coaching. And one said to me, I don't like my job. However, I need the money. I've been doing this for years and somewhere around 20 years. They've been doing this job or working in this occupation and not really feeling the vibe of it. Do you realize how much stress that is on that person for years? Even though, and they don't, may not recognize this money, but I think it goes back to when we start peeling back the skin here a lot more when I'm talking with this client, I think we're going to find with him is this. He is going through a change, but he is so fearful of that uncertainty that's out there that he would rather stay and deal with the stresses of not being fulfilled than to go and look for something that's more fulfilling or to seek something that's more fulfilling. You don't have to look for it. Sometimes it's just about taking a step back and becoming knowledgeable of who you are. And that's where self-efficacy comes in. Who am I and what do I do and how do I become that which I know I can become without sacrificing all the other things that are on the line to the point where I can't recognize me anymore. And I think that that is something that people have to deal with. Now, when you're on uncertainty, you have to look at about five things. Curiosity, exploring new learning, new ideas. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity in Europe, in Britain, to explore different things because somebody has to break up the information and start it over. There was a new job. A whole new group of jobs mm-hmm. that's going to be available because people were doing things differently before. And where things may have gone to one country, now they're coming back to that country, and those people in that country are going to be able to do. So we may see, and it may take some time to see, well, let's go back to now we have more jobs here that people can have, but that's going to keep out people who may have come in from a global standpoint and started working those jobs because they had experiences in other countries. So now you have to spend more time possibly educating those in your country to bring the skill sets up to where they're needed. So that becomes more important. The other thing is persistence. Making sure that despite any setbacks they have, that people are preparing and not using this time frame while things are getting together to create more odds, more drama, more things that would keep them out of the loop for being able to compete for those jobs. And people have to be more flexible.
Definitely.
Yeah. You cannot, and even in your thought process, Como, that you had a few moments ago, you talked about flexibility of now looking at something else, but you have to be flexible and understand. I think your career is like your biggest relationship that you have with yourself. Yes, I said that. Your career, the biggest relationship that you have with yourself. And if your relationship with yourself is not a good one, it's not going to be right. So knowing that your relationship is with you, your career is, how do you make sure you have the best relationship possible? Even if that means you have to step out of bounds and go to Europe. If that's what you really want to do.
Yeah. And I mean, to that point, you know, when you're in an actual relationship, you have to learn how to go with the flow. Same thing goes with a relationship with yourself, you know, career-wise, you have to learn how to go with the flow, especially with such an air of uncertainty around. Just learn how to kind of be flexible and adapt to your surroundings. I think that's the biggest thing, adapting.
Yes, I totally agree. And then for my other client is a younger client and their parents, decided to call me out and say, hey, this one needs some help. And it's amazing that both of these are men, I tell you. But that is great because their parents know and they're willing to, and the men know rather, and they're willing to be open to it. But optimism, and that's one of the things that I see here. You have to be very optimistic. The moment you give in, and say it's not going to happen, it's the moment it doesn't happen. Yesterday, I heard news that our company, one of our sponsor companies, didn't get this big contract that they won. And this would have been the first huge contract for the company. And they knew that Carol Beck and knew that they probably wouldn't be in the running, but they tried for the contract anyway and then make it some big organization that's been around for quite some time with more dollars and to spend, receive the contract. But still, they were very optimistic that they had a chance. And if they had not been optimistic, they would have just put that aside, never competed for something that would have gained them more experience and more notoriety. Because their name was listed in the group and the group got to go through their content, that gave them an opportunity to be in front of more people and people that they never would have had the opportunity to be in front of. And who knows, somewhere down the line, somebody may be looking at them for something that was not so macro, but somewhat more of a micro project. And then risk taking. You have to be willing, and risk taking goes along with optimism, and you have to be willing to take risk. And it's going to be risky making decisions about where we go and where we're living. I think that I applaud you as well as a lot of the other young people who are moving around. It's not just staying in the same place, because you know what? That's what's going to help us to become better. That's what's going to help us to see that how to treat people and how not to have some of the diversity that issues or challenges that we experience in corporate today. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. That means a lot coming from you. You know, all of these points are things that are very important for a career advancement. And you mentioned optimism. And optimism is something that is huge, I think, for career advancement, in the sense that being optimistic about your prospects and being optimistic about your own personal abilities makes a huge difference. If you're not someone who is necessarily a believer in what you can do, nobody else is going to believe that you are capable of doing something. You might, you know, you could graduate top of the class, have complete and perfect knowledge on how finance works. But if you don't believe that you know anything, nobody else is going to believe that you know anything, you know? So
exactly. I agree.
That is a great point that you touched on. And, you know, I've noticed that a lot of jobs today are high risk, high reward. Risk taking is something that kind of thrives in this capitalist economy that we have, you know? And I think that is something that I'm seeing a lot more from the millennial generation. A lot more of us are willing to take risks. A lot more of us are starting to, you know, for example, take on entrepreneurship. We have so many new startups that are out there. We have Silicon Valley, which is just a hub of startups. You know, down in Austin, Texas, we have kind of Silicon Valley part two. So many new startups are coming there. Toronto is a huge startup hub. You know, we're seeing a lot more risks being taken by starting new companies. We're seeing a lot more risks being taken in terms of what kind of job am I going to take on? And I think that's something that's great. I think that's something that's going to really help push the economy forward. I think that's something that's going to really change the way that we look at, you know, the economy and what to do with our lives and things like that, which is, you know, progress is everything. I think being stagnant is what leads to destruction and downfall. And so having that consistent persistence of change is something that is very, very good, which again goes to your point, being persistent. So
yes, excellent point. And you're absolutely right. Is a lot of high risk, high reward. And not all the time are you going to get the rewards by taking high risk. With risk comes uncertainty. With uncertainty comes more opportunity. Because if everyone was willing to do the same thing, we wouldn't get anything done. It would be too many in the pot. Which brings another case in point before we close out today. People who went for globalization, and I think we need to really think about this, guys. By the time the vote was in to for all the countries to join in and the U.S. and the trade and all of that commissions were established, while that was going on in the background during the 80s, we were in college and didn't know, some of us was in college, I was, and didn't know about the things that were going on because at that time, our textbooks, they've gotten a little bit better. And now we're seeing that we want to teach from content, current content, and not a textbook that took years to develop, 10 years to develop. And by the time it got to the desk of the students, it was outdated because things change. We live in that fluid of a society or the world that it changes that rapidly. But if we can see this happening now, because people are asleep on this Britix, we need to pay attention. I think I read in that article in the New York Times that the Britain is the size of California and Florida. That's the equivalency of it. Now, can you imagine if Texas, now Texans, hold your horses. Can you imagine if Texas decided to exit the union?
Yeah, that would be a very interesting thought. And again, this is something that has actually been talked about before, Texas seceding from the United States. I personally think that it's a terrible idea. I really do, considering that we are, you know, and again, this kind of goes to where this is comparable to England, is that Texas is a state that has an internal market, but also has a huge external market. You know, like we, not only do we have trade within our borders, we trade with other states. We have economic ties to other states. We have economic ties to the United States government, you know, things like that. It's not so easy to just pull away and believe, oh yeah, we will still be one of the best state economies out there. No, that's not how that works. The thing is that, I guess if we take this on a bigger scale, it's kind of like, it's very much like globalization. The thing with globalization is that there's so much market integration that when you pull out, it's very hard to get back to being a standalone economy. It really is. I feel like as a public, we don't really understand how much we rely on trade and markets with other countries, with other trade unions, with trade blocs and things like that. We don't really understand how important those are to the economy. Mm. And, you know, it's, if Texas were to leave the United States, I don't think we would be surviving as well as we think we would.
Yep. I think you hit on something. And I think that you hit on why people are so afraid of Britix. Those that are for in the country and those that are for against it. That once you snap off from what you've been working with for a long time and something you fought so hard to make it happen, you're going to have to revitalize your economy. And we are so ingrained, so in bed, so to speak, with one another from country to country, that when you start breaking off things, you start breaking off your ability to bring in revenue for your country. And unless you have enough resources in your own country to pay for and supply your residents there, then you're going to have some challenges. And so there's a lot of challenges over there, but a lot of people may try this. And if they try this, they have to be prepared. So I would hope that Britain is prepared for all of this. Just like if we're thinking this here, because, you know, we are creatures of habit and mm-hmm. creatures of following one another.
Creatures that are very resistant to change as well.
Yes. Yes. And that's the other thing. So my hat's off to Britain. I hope them. I wish them well. And I look so forward to following them to see how they bring this back. This is a great, from a business perspective, this is a great, this is better than textbook. I was going to say this is a great textbook case, but this is better than that. And those are my thoughts. What are your closing thoughts before we close out?
Well, you know what? I wish the best of luck to England. They have quite the uphill battle to fight. But, you know, I hope that they do come out in the end. I hope they do, you know, regain their spot as one of the biggest, you know, business capitals in the world.
Have a huge financial market.
They have a very huge financial market. And so, you know, I hope that they're able to maintain that. And all we have left to do is just wait and see what happens, you know?
All right. That's our show for today, guys. We're coming to you from the deck in Dallas, Texas.
This is Dr. Marilyn and Kamal delivering our thoughts on what's hot in news today and hot topics. If you'd like to be on the show, we'd love to have you. You can send us an email at Marilyn, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N, at Carol Beck, CarolBeck.com, Marilyn at CarolBeck.com, or you can reach us at 214-301-1664. Again, that number is 214-301-1664. Thank you and have a great, great day, Dallas.